Welcome to the Ark Church Podcast. On here, you'll find all of our Sunday and Wednesday messages, as well as classes and special services. If you would like more information about the Ark Church, visit us at thearkchurch.com or download our app available to all app stores. Our heart for you is that you would live for God, grow stronger, and make a difference. Enjoy.
So two old guys are walking down a lake shore. Old dudes. They were brothers, both of them up in their 90s. So that really, they were shuffling. And in the middle of their shuffle, a frog jumped across in the right in the middle of their path and just sat there. So one of them, with a lot of labor, bent down and scooped up the frog and was just looking at how ugly it was. And the frog spoke up, said, "Mister, I'm not really a frog. If you'll kiss me, I'll turn into a beautiful 25-year-old princess and I'll love you for the rest of your life." Kind of startled him, so he put the frog in his pocket and kept walking. They walked a while in silence, and finally his brother said, "Well, are you going to kiss it?" He said, "No, I don't think so." He said, "At my age, I think I can have more fun with a talking frog." Has nothing to do with my message, but it's good to laugh. I want to talk this morning about strength, spiritual strength. I'm calling this one "Living on the Strong Side of Life." One of the things I've noticed about the Lord is you'll never hear the Lord tell anyone, "Be weak and very afraid." It's always, "Be strong and courageous." And I really think that's a part of our Christian life. Strength, we know, is an advantage. We talk about business negotiations. They talk about negotiating from a place of strength. One of the places of strength is if you can't walk away from a deal, you're not in the position of strength. When I was in sales, they used to call it, if you really needed a sale, sometimes a salesman, you could just tell when they really need it, they're pushing for a sale. We used to call that having commission breath. And you were just breathing your hot commission breath on a potential client because you really needed to. That's not a good place to be. You know, even in relationships, I always encouraged my sons especially. I said, because Michael especially grew up when there was a lot more texting going on. And so I just told him, I said, "Son, look, if you're going to ask a girl out, ask her out either in person or on the phone. Don't text her." I said, "It's a sign of strength if you can do that. It takes guts just to ask someone in person. You deal with the possibility of a rejection. But we can," I said, "you can do that." And so you won't. And sometimes I would talk to people down here in the front after service. I'm almost always down here. People say, "I've been coming here for 10 years. I've never met you." That's on you. I am down here every... And to my knowledge, I have not bitten anyone. So come down, say hello. It'd be good to see you. But occasionally I have people come and they're like, and I've been begging them. And I'm like, whoa, stop. Stop begging. You have more dignity than that. If you need to apologize. You need to repent, but don't beg. Strength attracts. Weakness can repel. And then even physically, I recently read an article in The Economist magazine. That's a secular magazine out of the UK, just to get a perspective of what the world thinks. And they wrote an article talking about how doctors are now saying that you don't just want to be physically fit cardiovascular-wise, you need muscular strength as well. And so they were suggesting some kind of resistance training to build muscular strength for longevity. If you're going to live long, you want to have muscular strength. You know, you can actually build muscle into your 80s and 90s. And so there's not a whole lot of 90-year-old bodybuilders, but they're out there somewhere. But you can build muscle, but what you're really building is functional strength, and it helps with longevity. There was a lady named Willie Murphy. She's in upstate New York. Willie was sleeping one night when she heard someone break into her house. 82 years old. Someone breaks in her house. Willie said, "I felt bad. for him. Willie called the police, and then she hid in the darkness with a table. And when the intruder came across her path, she waylaid him with that table, beat him till the table broke, then poured a bottle of shampoo on his face, and then beat him with a broom handle. See, what that intruder did not take into account was Willie is a powerlifting championship for her age group. She's the champion in the 80 and above age group in the state of New York, and she's a bodybuilder at 82 years old. She beat this guy to a pulp. He's probably glad to see the police show up. And so she said, I may be old, but I'm tough and strong. Now, I'm not advocating that you become an 82-year-old bodybuilder, but I am saying that it helps having strength. But here's something even more important than that. Spiritual strength trumps all of that, because spiritual strength will have an impact in all areas of your life. You say, well, you know, Alan, I'm just not a strong person. I got good news for you. Look at this psalm right here. Here's the promise. The Lord will give strength to his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. How many of you believe that God is strong? That God is stronger than anything you're dealing with? Well, if God is strong, then getting closer to him will strengthen you. When you get closer to the Lord, listen, getting closer to the Lord doesn't make you weird. It makes you strong. It makes you better. It makes you more loving. It makes you more gracious. It makes you an asset. It does not hurt you. It does not make you weird. So I know some weird Christians. They were weird before they were Christians. When you get strong, when you get to the Lord, he makes you a better person, not a weirder person. So we need to lose that idea. Getting close to him will make you stronger on the inside. So I'm going to give you a story this morning of a king. And I've taught this passage before, but I want to teach it just from a little bit of a different area. It's a story of a king in the Old Testament, king of Judah, called Hezekiah. The Bible devotes several chapters to him. He was a really good king. And by the way, he came from a really bad family. How many of you, here's good news, guys. You don't have to have a perfect family to live for God. You don't have to have your family background. You say, well, my family tree looks horrible. What? Climb off of it and get you another tree. you don't have to worry about it. Listen, his father shut down the temple and put idols up all over the country. I mean, this is a bad guy. And when his son Hezekiah became king at age 25, he started tearing those idols down. He was a great king. Here's the beautiful thing about Hezekiah, though. I've always taught this particular passage. I've taught it almost as a principle. But the thing about Hezekiah is Hezekiah had a great heart for God. And that was the source of his strength, was his relationship, his heart for God. That's what made him strong. Let's look at this passage here. Thus Hezekiah did throughout all Judah and did what was good and right and true before the Lord his God. And in every work that he began, it talks about some of the things that in the service of the house of God, that's the first one, in the law, the word of God, and in the commandment to seek his God, he did it with all his heart, so he prospered. Did it with all his heart. So what's it saying that Hezekiah did? He really had a strong heart for God. He did everything he could to walk before God and do the things that were true and right and good. That's part of a heart for God. He had a heart for God's kingdom. You see, the temple represented that then, not so much today. Today, if you've made Jesus your Lord, you are the temple of God. And he lives in you. But then the temple of God, the presence of God, was in a physical temple, and it had fallen into disrepair. And so Hezekiah fixed it. He cleaned out all the junk that was in there, threw out all the idols, began to restore it and make it look better. He restored temple worship. So he had a heart for the kingdom of God. He wasn't just interested in his own kingdom. He wanted God's kingdom to be blessed. And so he really cleaned up the temple and asked the people to give, and they gave such offerings that they had to lay it in heaps all around them. I mean, that was some serious. We have not reached that place yet where we're having to heap it up in the office, but I'm open if you guys want to shoot for it. But he just did a beautiful job of that, and just putting God's kingdom before his kingdom. Said he had a heart for God that was evident in God's word. He wanted the priest to teach the people, to teach them God's word. And he had an understanding of God's word. In fact, the Bible said he walked in the ways of his father David. So he had the Psalms. He had things written down. And he had a heart for God's word. And he had a heart for a relationship with God. So he prayed to God. One time the people had made a mistake. And the Bible said Hezekiah prayed and asked God to give them mercy. And God did. So Hezekiah had just a great heart. Heart for God. And a heart for the things of God. And that was the basis of his strength, so that when this next thing happens, when the problem hit, he's in better shape. When the problem hit, he was already living on the strong side. So let's read about what happens next. After these deeds of faithfulness, what we just talked about, fixing the temple and the law and having a relationship with God, these deeds of faithfulness, Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, came and entered Judah. He encamped against the fortified cities, thinking to win them over to himself. When Hezekiah saw that Sennacherib had come, and that his purpose was to make war against Jerusalem, he consulted with his leaders and his commanders to stop the water from the springs which are outside the city, and they helped him. Thus many people gathered together who stopped all the springs and the brook that ran through the land, saying, "Why should the kings of Assyria come and find much water?" And he strengthened himself, built up all the wall that was broken and raised it up to the towers, built another wall outside. He repaired the Milo in the city of David. He made weapons and shields in abundance. Now, one of the things that you see in Hezekiah is Hezekiah was not paralyzed by a problem. King of Assyria, that was one of the strongest armies of that day, and it was coming against him. And Hezekiah did not allow the problem to paralyze him. Neither did he blame God, except after all these good things Hezekiah was doing, and then comes an army. Listen, don't be bothered if you're like, "I'm doing everything right and I'm trying to live for God. And why is all hell busted loose in my life?" Because you have an enemy. And you have an enemy, Satan, who does not like the progress you are making and would like to stop you. Don't get upset. Don't yell at God. Just resist him and stop him and ask God to help you, and you can come through this. But he did not get upset and go, "Why, God?" He got busy. He just got busy. He had an action orientation. He did not let the problem paralyze him. He did what he could do. Well, there's some wisdom in that, guys. Just do what you could do. I know sometimes people come and they say, "Man, I am so sick. We've got cancer. We've got things." And so we suggest, "Hey, we have healing class on Wednesday night. Please come." That's something you can do to get some help. We have marriage classes that can help you. We have biblical coaching on Tuesday nights. So what you're saying is, "I'm just not going to sit back and wait for something to happen. I'm going to jump in there and do my part." And that gives you a lot more options. I love the fact that just you're making progress. If you didn't make progress, that's just a good feeling. And that's what Hezekiah did. He built up the wall. He made shields. He stopped the water. So he set himself up that when the enemy came, the enemy had no place in him. That's another sermon, but that was a smart thing to do. So Hezekiah did that. And then he began to talk to the people and listen to how he talks. He set military captains over the people, gathered them together to him in the open square of the city gate, and gave them encouragement, saying, "Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid nor dismayed before the king of Assyria, nor before all the multitude that is with him, for there are more with us than with him. With him is the arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles." And the people were strengthened by the words of Hezekiah, king of Judah. We'll stop there. But man, this is great. Hezekiah believed that God was powerful and that God could help them. And so when he got the people together, you notice he encouraged them, "Be strong." You'll see that over and over again in the Bible. You never see anyone talking to anybody else and going, "Be weak and hide." It's always, "Be strong and courageous." Hey, listen, those of us, if you're over the age of 10, you have figured out that in life, you had better be strong and courageous, because life is just not going to lay down for you. You got to stand up and take it. But thank God we've got somebody to take it with. And so here was Hezekiah, and he's telling them, be strong and courageous. And then he threw in some, what I call some God math. He said, there's more with us than there are with them. I'm like, what? There's more with these people. I know they were doing the math. We see a multitude. We see thousands coming our way. And Hezekiah's going, there's more with us than there are with them. Hezekiah was not talking about what he could see. Hezekiah was talking about what he could believe. And if God is for us, then who can be against us? In other words, God math says the odds are in our favor, not in their favor. Boy, I like God math better. It looks better. People are looking at you going, how can you be okay in an environment like this? How can you be okay in an economy like this? Because because I'm doing God math. And if God is for me, who can be against me? And if he's on my side, I know I'm going to make it okay. It's going to be all right. I've got God. And so I'm not running for the hills. So he's doing that God math. He's like, and God will is for us, and God will help us and fight our battles. Now, here's the deal. Up until that time, Hezekiah had never been in a war. But yet he believed that God would help them and God would fight his battles. Hezekiah believed God. Remember, let's go back to where we started, though. He had a relationship with God. He had a heart with God. He was talking with God. So when it came down to a problem, he wasn't trying to find God. He was already with God. He was already on the strong side of God. And he's like, Father, thank you. You are going to help us in this war. You're going to help us fight this battle. And the people were encouraged by his words. In fact, the Bible said the people were strengthened by his words. You know, your words can either strengthen you or they can absolutely weaken you. Your words, you got to watch it. Listen, when things get tough, this is the time. If you can't say anything good, don't say anything. Just be quiet. But when you do talk, talk like God's going to help you, not like you've been abandoned. And so Hezekiah said, he's going to help us. You said, well, what happened? Well, God helped them. For one, he sent an angel in and killed a whole bunch of Sennacherib's army. And Sennacherib was so discouraged that he went home. And when he went home, his children killed him. What a great family. And so he goes in and his kids kill him. But the deal is that God was working for them. And Hezekiah stayed on the strong side of that situation. How about us? How about you? How do you stay on the strong side? So let's talk about a couple of things. Here's the first thing. I don't think we can miss this. We need a strong heart for God. A strong heart for God. Listen, you might be thinking, Alan, I've never been strong at anything. You can be strong right here. You can have a strong heart for God. What's that look like? What's that look like? Well, I tell you, I can't tell you the whole thing looks like, but I can tell you part of it. That you consider God's kingdom important. God's kingdom, God's things. Jesus was teaching. And they asked him, said, Lord, how do we pray? And he starts off with our Father, who art in heaven. What's it say next? Hallowed be your name. And then what's the next thing that he said? Pray this. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Do you notice that comes before give us? God, your kingdom come. God, your will be done. What's he saying? He's saying, God, your kingdom is important to me. Listen, you don't have to be a preacher for God's kingdom to be important to you. You don't have to work in a church staff for God's kingdom to be important to you. You can just have a heart for God that says, God, your kingdom is eternal. Your kingdom, I'm a part of your kingdom. I want to see it advance. I encourage you guys, give away some of these invitations. What are you doing? You're just helping build God's kingdom. There are people that need the Lord. Just give them an invitation. Very few people are going to look at you, get angry, and throw it back at you. They'll go, oh, thank you. They may say, well, I don't want to go. You just bless their heart, go on. But you don't have to worry about it because you want God's kingdom. God's kingdom shows up in our giving. It shows up in our serving. It shows up in our time. God's kingdom, making it more important than ours. Have a heart for God's word. Heart for God. What's a God? Heart for God's word. You want to hear what he's saying. His word is vital. Psalms, the first chapter, verse 2 said, whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. His delight. He delights in God's word. Listen, when you pick up your Bible, do not say, okay, I have to read my Bible. Just say this, thank you, Lord, I delight in your word. You say, well, I don't feel like I delight in God's word. If you keep telling yourself, Lord, I delight in your word, you'll get there. It's like an acquired taste. You know what acquired taste is, don't you? That's when you don't start out liking it, but wind up liking it after you do it a lot. Okay, let's try this. When I was in my BC days, before I came back to Christ, and I was in a bar, I had a bunch of guys that tell me, Alan, you need to drink scotch. And I remember I tasted it. I went, dear God, this is the worst stuff I've ever tasted in my life. I might as well be drinking gasoline, and it's cheaper. This is horrible. They said, don't worry about it. You'll acquire a taste for it. Well, listen, if you can acquire a taste for something that tastes like gasoline, then you can acquire a taste for God's word, which will do you a lot more good and will help you, and you'll get there. So just, I don't know why I shared that, but that was free. Love God's word has a relationship with the Lord. Heart for God, a relationship with the Lord. A relationship with God. Now, here's the thing. I am so convinced of this. So many people think, okay, I'm trying to have a relationship with God, and they don't realize that God wants to have a relationship with them. When I was in the fifth and sixth grade, man, I wanted a girlfriend, and I was having a hard time because I used to send notes. Now, some of you who've only lived with text, just I know we're going to go back in time. But I used to write notes to girls that says, I like you. Do you like me? Check one of the boxes. Yes, no, as a friend. Anybody remember those? I had so many come back as a friend. I was the mayor of friend zone before it was a thing. Man, I could paper my wall with friend zone papers, yes, as a friend. As a friend means, no, really, it's new. It's a nice way of saying no until Laura Winters showed up. Laura Winters was a new girl in school. When she came, I moved before anybody else did. And I moved and I wrote Laura a note. I like you. Do you like me? And that's when you would kind of, you know, you fold it up and you'd walk past their desk. You just kind of drop it on their desk. Some of you look at me like, this is weird that this happened. Yes, it happened. Ask your parents or your grandparents. But anyway, I remember she threw the note back, and I opened it up, and it was a yes. Like, finally, I've got a girlfriend now. I didn't know what to do with her, but I've got a girlfriend. Only thing you can do in the fifth grade is kind of go, hey, and they would go, hey, and that's about it. That's all you need to be doing in the fifth grade. But I remember going to school the next day when I was looking forward to her being in that class, because when I walked in the class, and she saw me and her eyes lit up. And I thought, hey, somebody likes me. Listen, have you ever thought about maybe God's eyes light up when you show up? How about when he sees you? There was a lady, her name was Julian of Norwich. I didn't even realize this lady existed. She was in medieval times, 1300s, 1400s. She wrote something I thought was just outstanding. She said, God loves us and delights in us. And so he wishes us to love him and delight in him and trust greatly in him. That thought hit me. God loves us. We've said that all the time. God loves us. Have you ever thought about God delighting in you? That when you show up and pray, God's not looking at you going, it's about time you showed up. Where you been? No, you show up and God smiles. He delights in us. And if someone delights in us, then that means that's someone I can have a relationship with. I can talk to. I can pray, and he won't reject me. He loves you. He delights in you. I'm going to skip down, guys, and go to the third one, just by shake of time. The second one is be an action-oriented person, but the third one is this: is believe and believe that God is good, and his willingness to help you. His willingness to help you. That God has strong power. And he's willing to help you. Now, This is kind of where the rubber meets the road. This is living on the strong side right here. Is you believe that God would be willing to help you, that God is for you. You know, sometimes I know people have prayed and they prayed about an outcome of something. Maybe it was a relationship, or maybe it was a business deal, or just some kind of financial situation. All of us have had prayers that have not been answered. And the challenge is the enemy will use that to just prompt you and tell you, God's not for you, He is not for you, He's not on your side. So sometimes people just draw back. But we have to determine that God is for us, not because of observation, but because we see it in His Word and because we have a relationship with Him. And the Bible said, what shall we say to these things in Romans 8:31? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with us Him also freely give us all things? So I'm going to believe that God is for me regardless. And I'm going to stand right there. I believe God's for you. So Alan, I didn't get my prayers answered. Well, find out why. Go back. Don't just stop praying. Don't just avoid God. Just begin to say, Father, why? Where did I miss it? You're perfect. You never do. Where did I miss it on this? But don't ever stop believing that God loves you and He is for you and always will be. So we work on that, and then we believe that God is bigger than the problems that we're facing. He is powerful. I've been reading through the Psalms. I love reading through the Psalms because the psalmists are always talking about God. You created the heavens and the earth, and You created the oceans, and You created all the stuff in them by Your power and by Your hand. You are a strong God. That's a great way to talk to God. Father, thank You. You are strong. You are powerful. We used to have a lady at Lakewood, and she would step up to lead prayer. She's a little lady, but she would step up and she would glare at us. She would go, is anything too hard for the Lord? And we would all go, no. But what a great question. Is anything too hard for the Lord? No. This is what Jeremiah said. He said, sovereign God, You have made the heavens and the earth by Your strong hand and powerful arm. There is nothing too hard for You. What a great way to talk to the Lord. Lord, thank You. You're bigger than this. Nothing's too hard for You. And the last one is, you got to know that God is good and He will be good to you. That's where I wanted to go with that. That God is good and He will be good to you. See, it's easy to believe that God will be good to somebody else. It's easy to believe that God will be good to Alan. He's good to you. And I know He's good to you in joy, especially joy. But we know He's good to joy. And so you begin to think along those lines. But listen, what if you begin to think that God's not gooder to me than He is to you? You say, gooder's not a good word. It's a good word for me. But God is good. Father, that's a great way to pray. When you go to bed tonight, as you bow your head, say, Lord, thank You. You are good and You're good to me. But you know what that will do? That when things get shaky, that gives you confidence. That puts you on the strong side. The psalmist said this in Psalms 27:13. He said, I would have lost heart. I would have been discouraged unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Notice he didn't say, I would have lost heart because I saw the goodness of the Lord. He said, I believed that I would see the goodness. You see, guys, we live in a world, a dark world, and this is why the Bible said we walk by faith and not by sight. We believe we'll see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Quick story, and I'll close. If you just stay with me till we're done. When we were building out the church over the roller rink, we just had a few hundred people. We ran out of money. And we really needed $40,000 to put in air conditioning and some really key elements. And we didn't have it. We didn't have any of it. No bank. We were too young as a church. No bank is going to loan us a dime. And I remember I looked over at Joy. I said, call your mother. Now, Joy's mother has always been for Joy and would always support Joy. I didn't call my parents. My parents kind of had that you're on your own mentality. Joy's mom always had this, I am here to help you. And we called her. She loaned us the $40,000. We paid her back every dime of it. But we knew that we could talk to her. We knew that we could call her because she was for us. We knew she was good and she'd be good to us. You see, as you begin to have a relationship with the Lord, you begin to realize He's good. He'll be good to me. And that's when it becomes powerful, is when it becomes personal. Would you bow your head for a moment? Please know when leaving. We'll be out of here in just a couple of minutes. But if you're here today and you say, you know, Alan, I've never asked the Lord to be the Lord of my life, or I may have, I'm not sure, I'm not confident of that. Or maybe you're like I was, you did that, but then you got away from Him. And you're sitting here today, you're watching online, you're thinking, man, I've gotten away from God. I know that. His heads are bowed and eyes are closed. We're going to say a prayer. And this is your opportunity to come back or come to Him for the very first time. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I'm not going to ask anyone to stand up or come to the front, but I am going to ask you to do this. If that's you that I'm talking to and you say, Alan, would you pray for me? I need to come to the Lord or come back to Him. I really want to be part of your prayers. Would you pray? Slip your hand up real quick just across this auditorium. Thank you. Thanks. Thanks. Thank you. You can put your hands down. We're going to pray. Obviously, I can't see you online, but if you are by yourself, pray this prayer with us out loud. If you're with other people, pray it quietly. We're going to pray it with you as a church family. You pray this from your heart. Say, Dear God, I know mankind needs a Savior. I know I can't save myself. Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on the cross for my sins, and God raised you from the dead. Right now, I confess you as my Lord, as my Savior, as the one who forgives me and restores me. Thank you, Jesus. My past is forgiven. I have a relationship with you. I'm a new creation in Christ because I said yes to you. Father, thank you for those that prayed that prayer. For those who've come out of darkness into light, and those who've come back home, we rejoice with them. And Father, for all of us, thank you that your commandment to us, your encouragement to us is to be strong and courageous. And we have very good reasons to be that way. We give you all the praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thank you for joining us. We hope this message has blessed you. Don't forget to check us out on all the social platforms. We're uploading encouraging content on a regular basis. For more information, go to thearcchurch.com. Have a great week.